Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus has been moving through Galilee, from village to town, healing and teaching, and proclaiming the good news of God's love come into the world. As he goes, he has been gathering followers to him. And wherever he goes, his disciples follow him, learning from him and growing in faith. As Jesus is going about, he looks at the people around him. People in towns he visits, crowds who follow because of his work of healing and his message of love, and he is moved by compassion. I love this moment in the gospel. He sees the people and they are like sheep without a shepherd, helpless and hapless. Do you ever look around you these days and feel like that maybe describes us a little bit right now? A little bit lost, a little bit like sheep without a shepherd. And he doesn't just notice or observe their suffering. Jesus is moved in his heart to feel their suffering along with them. Their sickness and pain, their loneliness, their oppression at the hands of Rome, Jesus feels it with them. And in response, Jesus sends his disciples to care for them and heal their pain. In this case, he sends just the 12, his inner circle companions, but later it will become 70 disciples whom he sends out. And we know that eventually the Holy Spirit will descend on all of his followers, male and female, young and old, and send them out in service to the world. The followers of Jesus become more than students or devotees. They are sent to carry out the work of Jesus in the world. And that includes us as followers of Christ. I spent the last week at Rainbow Trail. Here we go. I spent the last week at Rainbow Trail Lutheran Camp. The theme for the summer is It's All About Grace. We explored how grace is a free gift from God of love and forgiveness for all of us, always and forever, no matter what. That was our first day, and we repeated it all the way through the week. God's grace and love is for me, always and forever, no matter what. We explored how we can reflect God's grace in the world with our own acts of love and encouragement, forgiveness, and kindness. And part of what made this Bible study about grace so powerful was witnessing the young Rainbow Trail staff live out their own response to God's grace so beautifully, for the sake of the campers, of one another, of everyone who comes there to camp. These amazing young people are learning to live out what director Dave Jarvis calls a servant heart, rooted in their understanding of God's deep love for them. And part of what makes Rainbow Trail so amazing is the spirit and culture of grace and encouragement and mutual care that they are able to create there. I say this every year because every year it's true that spending a week with these amazing young adult leaders at Rainbow Trail gives me hope for what the church can be, for where we're going in the future. Now, I did take a little time at camp for sermon preparation, and one thing I came across was a blog which was written about this gospel lesson in 2020, in the weeks after the murder of George Floyd. It is from a Journey to Jesus weekly webzine, not that one, there we go, by Debbie Thomas, who is the Minister of Lifelong Learning at St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Palo Alto. I spent some time with this essay by Debbie Thomas. It is really amazing, and I was trying to summarize it or pull out a few choice quotations that I could share with you. And finally, I decided that I am simply going to read a big part of the essay to you because it is so powerful, and I think it warrants sharing. You can read the whole essay, which the whole thing is worth sharing, on the Journey with Jesus website at the bottom on the slide here. So this is from Debbie Thomas. In his book, Tokens of Trust, An Introduction to Christian Belief, former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, tells the story of a young Jewish woman named Etty Hillesum. Hillesum was in her 20s when the Germans occupied Holland. She was not a conventionally religious person, but between the years of 1941 and 1943, as she watched her world descend into nightmare, she became deeply aware of God's hand on her life. Imprisoned in the transit camp at Westerbork before being shipped to the gas chambers of Auschwitz, Etty wrote these words: "There must be someone to live through it all and bear witness to the fact that God lived even in these times. And why should I not be that witness?" Williams describes Hillesum's commitment in this way. She decided to occupy a certain place in the world, a place where others could somehow connect with God through her. She took responsibility for making God credible in the world. She took responsibility for God's believability. Debbie writes, "I've been thinking about these phrases all week, making God credible in the world, taking responsibility for God's believability." How do you feel hearing these phrases? What visceral reactions, if any, do they trigger? Alarm? Excitement? Longing? Fear? Does it ever occur to us that these phrases might describe our vocation as followers of Christ? Is it possible that we are called to make belief in the kingdom of God credible for the world we live in? Not just when belief is easy, but also, especially, when belief feels impossible. If you're like me, again, Debbie wrote 3 years ago, you're reeling from the events that have rocked the United States over the past weeks. I'm sure I'm not alone in lacking words to express the frustration and sorrow I feel. Once again, we must mourn a Black man's senseless murder at the hands of abusive police. Once again, we must confront the deep, insidious racism that poisons this nation's core. Once again, we are called to repent of our history, grieve with our African American brothers and sisters, and insist on the justice that is now centuries overdue. Once again, we are summoned to render God's good news credible in a dark hour. In our gospel reading this week, Jesus commissions his 12 disciples to liberate and enliven the harassed and helpless. Seeing the multitudes of sheep without a shepherd, Jesus is deeply moved, and so he tells his disciples, "Go. Go and proclaim the good news of the kingdom. Go and cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. Go and touch. Go and heal. Go and resurrect. Go and make peace. Go and render believable the compassion of God." Needless to say, this commissioning is for us as well. Are you scared yet? Hang on. Jesus has more to say. After explaining to his disciple what their task is, he offers them some appalling operating instructions. You receive without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag or two tunics or sandals or a staff. Are you scared now? Make no mistake, this is a confrontational gospel. It's hard, it's demanding. In it, Jesus asks us to surrender everything for the sake of making God credible to a world that is convulsing in pain. And Jesus does so without reservation or apology. His harsh-sounding instructions suggest that there will be times when our faith requires us to violate cultural norms, fight uphill battles, or speak dangerous truths to power. If our overriding priority as Christians is to secure our own comfort, then we cannot follow Jesus. Discipleship will disorient and disrupt us. It will make us the neighborhood weirdos. It will shake things up in our families, churches, and communities. It will expose evils in the status quo we cling to. It will humble us to our knees. To make God believable here and now is to stand in the hot white center of the world's pain. Not just to glance in the general direction of suffering and injustice and then sidle away, but to dwell there. To identify ourselves with those who are aching, weeping, and dying. So Debbie Thomas wraps up. Why does Jesus ask so much of us? Because he gave us so much. You received without payment, now give without payment. Maybe if we can put aside our reluctance and our fear, we will feel the weight, the power, and dare I say it, the glory of this calling. Jesus calls us only to what we were created for. Jesus knows the cure for our brokenness, our malaise, our boredom, our angst. Jesus knows that when we go out into the world in his name, healing what is diseased, resurrecting what is dead, and casting out what is evil, we participate in the transformation of our own souls. What we're hearing in these days is the very heart of God within us, deep calling to deep. The Spirit crying out on behalf of a world desperate for justice and mercy. Will we listen? Someone has to live and bear witness to the fact that God lives even in these times. So ask yourself, why shouldn't that witness be me? How can we be witnesses to Christ in such a way that our lives make credible the compassion, and love of God? I saw it at Rainbow Trail last week, that all-in commitment to service and love, that utter dependence on God's grace that makes God's love credible and visible in the world. May God call us to live deeply into such witness in our own lives and in our life together in this community. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.